Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Laura Carlson. It's day 300 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Today's main story, in the UK, where a fast-spreading variant of the virus was first detected, the outbreak is raging. The government is banking on a strict new lockdown to save the healthcare system from buckling. But first, here's what happened in virus news today. The United States had its deadliest day yet from the pandemic. On Thursday, for the first time, the country exceeded 4,000 daily fatalities. It's a number that was once unthinkable. The data were compiled by Johns Hopkins University and Bloomberg. Around 277,000 new cases were reported nationally on Thursday. That's among the highest numbers for the entire pandemic, as states report surging cases following the holidays. Hospitalizations also hit a record, according to the COVID Tracking Project. A new study shows that the COVID-19 vaccine developed by Pfizer and BioNTech may protect against the new, fast-spreading variants of the coronavirus. The study, done by researchers at the University of Texas Medical Branch and supported by the two drug companies, honed in on a crucial mutation in the virus's spike protein that is common to both fast-spreading variants. Antibodies in the blood of people who had been vaccinated were able to neutralize a lab-created version of the mutant virus. Finally, Italy is among several European nations who are tightening up restrictions in the face of a surging virus. The government will close bars and restaurants as part of the clampdown in Milan and its surrounding area, as well as four other regions. Croatia extended similar restrictions until January 31st. Hungary and France have also prolonged virus curbs. Cyprus has tightened restrictions, including a requirement for people to send a text message when they plan to leave home. And Irish businesses closed due to coronavirus restrictions should assume they won't reopen before the end of March.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas, begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
And now for today's main story. The United Kingdom's national health system is in danger of breaking under the weight of its raging coronavirus outbreak, and the next few weeks will be its biggest challenge yet. The UK is at the epicenter of the European struggle to contain COVID-19. The death toll is the highest in Europe, and daily infections are at a record. Medical staff say they may be forced to turn people away from hospitals if the latest lockdown fails to stop the spread quickly enough. I spoke to London-based reporter James Payton about the fast-spreading new virus strain and the next crucial weeks for the country's health system.
Britain has been severely affected by the pandemic this week. It regained its place as the worst-hit European country in terms of fatalities. And I'm just wondering, you know, how are Britain's hospitals and healthcare system holding up with all of this going on?
Yeah, well, it's a pretty bleak picture at the moment, and a race against time in many ways in Britain, because the virus is surging again, as you know, fueled at least in part by this new variant of the virus that was detected in the country last month. The mayor of London has recently described the pathogen as being out of control. Health officials said earlier this week that 1 in 50 people in England has COVID-19, which is quite a stunning statistic. And at the same time, the country is sprinting ahead to vaccinate as many people as it possibly can in the shortest amount of time to try to alleviate pressure on the health system, which is already stretched, you know, entered the pandemic in a difficult position. So, you know, the health system in the UK survived the first wave of the coronavirus, despite you know, significant worries at the time. You know, the government asked everyone to go the extra mile during the first lockdown in the spring. You may recall that people here in Britain stood on their doorsteps and applauded health workers every Thursday night. Children painted rainbows to stick on the front windows of their homes. Everyone rallied around doctors and nurses. But, you know, this time the fatigue, I think, and the frustration is growing. And there's, you know, a concern, as you mentioned, that the system will be able to cope with this latest rise in infections. As I mentioned, it's a system that was under pressure for years coming into this crisis, facing a nursing shortage of about 40,000 unfilled positions, among a number of other constraints. So, you know, people across Britain are seeing all this alarming data and hearing anecdotes of hospitals inundated with patients, people spilling out into the corridors, you know, ambulances lining up outside hospitals. And, you know, health workers that I've talked to and some of my colleagues have talked to tell us that they are exhausted, they're stressed, unsure if hospitals will be able to cope. So the nation is now in its third lockdown as infections, you know, continue to climb. Death toll in the UK is now at more than 78,000. That's the highest in Europe. And the next few weeks are really going to be crucial in answering those questions.
And, you know, as you mentioned, this already stressed system, the NHS, they now have a dual role in some ways to not only continue to provide care for a rising number of COVID-19 patients, but also to carry out a massive public health immunization program. I mean, is there a concern that, of course, the NHS may not have the resources to do this two-pronged responsibility?
It's a really good question, because, as you say, on the one hand, the system is dealing with this sharp rise in cases, and then on the other hand, it's being asked to carry out a mass immunization program, and not just vaccinating millions of people, but this is an unprecedented operation. It has, you know, their production hurdles, logistics issues, public education challenges. You know, we're talking about vaccinating tens of millions of people in, you know, hopefully, you know, a matter of months. So clearly this is just putting, you know, even more strain on the system. You know, there has been a lot of planning in recent months up until this point. The UK is relying, for instance, on the military. I think it's about 5,000 members of the armed forces that have been called on to help. They're volunteers. It's a truly massive effort, but snags are inevitable. Other countries as well, the U.S., other governments across the European Union now are experiencing some of these issues. It's not going to be easy, and I think it's going to take some time. But clearly, that is that's adding to the pressure. But the U.K. is really betting. I mean, everyone is betting on vaccines right now, seen as the exit strategy here globally. But the UK has made a really, really big push. They were the first country in the Western world to begin rolling out vaccines, moving ahead of the US and the European Union. The country acquired hundreds of millions of doses of several different vaccines in advance, including the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, the homegrown shot from AstraZeneca and the University of Oxford, and the Moderna vaccine, which actually just got authorized in the UK. Our Bloomberg tracker shows, I think, about 1.5 million people have been vaccinated thus far. That's more than 2% of the population. So it's they're big strides that have been made, but it also underscores how this is a long road.
And as far as, the state that Britain is in right now with the rising number of cases, fatalities, et cetera, has this at all changed the vaccine rollout process? I mean, as you said, it's been quite rapid moving thus far, but is there any kind of expectation that this might slow down because of this strain on the healthcare system?
Well, what's interesting is the UK is actually, in recent days, has taken a pretty bold step, kind of going out on the limb a bit in altering how it's going to do this. And a key part of the plan is to space out the two doses of the first vaccines that have been authorized, the first two vaccines, to delay the second dose by up to 12 weeks. And so the goal here is to stretch out supplies, to maximize the number of people who get some level of protection in the shortest amount of time. So the government says the data justify that decision and that people get good protection after the first shot, and that lengthening that interval doesn't weaken the immune response after the two-dose course is completed. But there are a lot of doubts about that policy and what happens during those 12 weeks, how quickly or not immunity could wane. U.S. officials and now European Union officials as well just today have said that the data just don't support such a decision. And it's not kind of prudent at this step to deviate from what was tested in the clinical trials. But it's an interesting strategy that sparked a really lively debate as the urgency grows. So, some people have seen this as a bit of a gamble. One person I talked to earlier this week, the head of the British Society for Immunology, said that the risk of not taking a step like that is actually much greater. He said in a normal world, we would stick to the plan that was, the dosing that was tested in the clinical trials. But he said, we're not in a normal world at the moment. Things have changed, and there's we're in this unprecedented crisis. So we have to take a different strategy, basically. So the UK is making changes to try to, maximize the number of people who are immunized. And it's too early to say how that will unfold. Obviously, if it works, the UK could have a significant advantage. And if it doesn't, obviously, that could leave the country vulnerable. So we'll just have to wait and see.
And as far as some of the strategies that the UK has taken, I mean, would you say, in your opinion, the most recently announced lockdown that began, I believe, earlier this week, that is part and parcel of this attempt to try and at least mitigate these overwhelming stresses on this healthcare system?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. And I think for the government, we have to remember that going back over the past year, the last 10 months, really, the government's been under a lot of pressure. And there's been a lot of criticism of the way that the UK has has responded. You know, people have said that the country hasn't moved swiftly enough or efficiently enough to try to get the virus under control. There's been scrutiny and criticism of the strategy for testing and contact tracing. People have said that the lockdowns have been carried out, you know, too late. We're imposing more restrictions this week. With vaccines, the stakes are immense, right? We are talking about, you know, for the country and for the government, sort of an opportunity to redeem itself and to get control of this virus, to, you know, protect a significant portion of the population. As you can imagine, some people aren't sure the government will be able to deliver. The government has a strategy of, or has a target rather, of vaccinating about 15 million people by the middle of next month. Obviously very ambitious. And, you know, some, based on the government's track record, some are doubting whether that is achievable. But clearly there are enormous resources going into this effort. We'll just have to wait and see, but it's going to be a very important and critical several weeks ahead for the country.
That was James Payton. And that's it for our show today. For coverage of the outbreak from 120 bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to help more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is produced by Topher Forges, Magnus Henriksen, and me, Laura Carlson. Today's main story was reported by James Payton. Original music by Leo Sidran. Our editors are Rick Schein and Francesca Levy. Francesca Levy is Bloomberg's head of podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.